Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, with the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, if you need a playbook, Noble Gold says allocate gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects. And right now, get a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin when you open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments today. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Jack Posobiec joins us as we talk to Ed Martin. And then we also talk about ending Jew hatred on campus. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Ed Martin, January 6th lawyer and also board member of the Patriot Freedom Project. Ed, welcome to the program. We also got Jack Posobiec here that is going to be co-piloting. So, Ed, tell us about what the Supreme Court could potentially do here to basically overturn or nullify some of these convictions of the overuse of the specific statute going after January 6th defendants.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. Thanks for covering this, too. You know, 1512 is the section of 18 U.S.C. 1512, and it was used. It's really, when you write the history of this period, Charlie, they will go all the way back to Enron and a guy named Andrew Weissman. Andrew Weissman was a prosecutor who destroyed Arthur Anderson. He destroyed individual lives. It's written about really well in the book License to Lie. All the way forward, he goes on the Mueller team, Weissman does. He tries to use this law, 1512C, which was created at that time because they didn't want to just have to do obstruction of justice, which is where somebody actually messes with a with an actual legal ongoing process. They made this loosey-goosey thing called obstruction of official proceeding, and then they could call everything an official proceeding. You could call the Kavanaugh hearings an official proceeding. You could call the Electoral College count an official proceeding. By the way, you could call a school board an official proceeding. And if you get up and yell and protest and advocate and lobby and you disrupt it in any way that the chairman gavels out the meeting, you've disrupted an official proceeding. And here's where it gets twisted, Charlie. It's a 20-year felony. So you've got hundreds of January 6th defendants who have vandalism, trespass, misdemeanor charges. And in comes the Andrew Weissman hammer, the 1512 that says 20 years in jail. It's what they use to justify people being held for years because these are felonious insurrectionists. So that's what the Supreme Court took up. They took it up on two key questions about whether it should be applied at all and whether one of the elements, corruptly is a word, should be allowed on people that walk through the Capitol, for example. This is the beginning of, I hope, an unraveling of the question. And Posobiec will love this because this is his kind of move. That we don't care. I don't care now about unraveling it. We will. Now I want to know is who ordered the 1512? It's like, who ordered the code red? Somebody picked this. If it was Garland or Lisa Monaco or Joe Biden or Hunter, somebody ordered the code that ordered the 1512. And that's what we have to find out next. And that guy or gal needs to end up in jail.
Jack.
His name is Andrew Weissman. What's up, Ed? No, his name is Andrew Weissman. And we know this because when Andrew Weissman ran the Mueller investigation into Trump, he was banging the drum for 1512 the entire time he was running this thing. Bill Barr came in and shut it down and said, we're going to close the whole thing. It was the whole entire second half of the Mueller report was all about 1512. But then Barr comes in and writes the opinion that says, no, we're not going to do this. This is insane. Then Weissman leaves government, of course. Biden comes in, and Weissman still goes on MSNBC and spent an entire year saying 1512, 1512, 1512, mm-hmm. yep, 1512, exactly. Obstruction on Trump, obstruction on Trump. So I'll tell you right now, that's exactly who it was. Him working through his meat puppet of Merrick Garland, who is still, you know, there's like a Svengali voodoo kind of thing going on there, because Merrick Garland, of course, is still so incredibly bitter and angry and out for revenge over the fact that Republicans prevented him from having his seat, which he believed he was entitled to, his seat on the Supreme Court, when Mitch McConnell, and credit where it's due, Mitch McConnell was the person who blew That's that right. up. You know, and Ed, when I look at these obstruction charges, because we do have a tension here, right? And what you're talking about is actually a tension, because if you say that any disruption then becomes obstruction, then doesn't that actually essentially take away the right to protest itself? Because exactly. every protest exactly. is an obstruction of some official proceeding if you want yeah. to expand it that much. That's why I believe the Supreme Court has taken up this case. And actually, that's why I believe the Supreme Court must rule on this case, because, Charlie, we do mm-hmm. have a tension here between the statutes. We have a tension between the statute and our rights, petition for a redress of our grievances. That's the First Amendment. And, of course, the fact that this has been used in such a way is absolutely egregious. But I got to say, the fact that we have originalists on the court now, thanks to Donald J. Trump and his supporters like Ed Martin and like Phyllis Schlafly, her last presidential endorsement was Donald J. Trump. The fact that we have those there, we have the Trump court, and it's not that they're pro-Trump, it's that they're pro-Constitution. We don't have a living exactly. Constitution. Yeah. We have the Constitution.
So then, Ed, is this going to be a June decision, or is this something that they could do pretty quick?
Yes. Yeah, no, it looks like it'll be set for argument late March, early April. Yeah. They'll brief back to today and they'll decide in June. I would say it's the last one decision of the court. By the way, I'll say it. I think it's pretty much guaranteed. Trump won't go to trial. There'll be no Trump trial in D.C. because of this. It'll have to be delayed. Even the animals that try to do this, Jack Smith and the judge, they get boxed in by the system time wise. So this gets us through to the election and we can see. But Jack got it exactly right. I just want to say one thing about that. The expansion of this from being about evidence and tampering to, as you say, lobbying, advocacy. It's a way to use lawfare against the Constitution, our First Amendment right and all the rest. And that's exactly what is the conflict here. It's why it's got to be taken up. But again, it's why our team, meaning conservatives, we the people, have to now go and hold these people accountable. This is not about revenge. This is about people who misuse the law against we the people. And, you know, I sound like an old ACLU lawyer. We got to get control of these federal prosecutors and get more freedom for our people.
Yeah, so
an old one.
This is important. This is important. As Cicero and James Madison both would say, the more laws, the less justice. The more voluminous the laws, the harder it is to get justice. So they both said the same thing. But this is important. So there's a billion classified documents. No one can ever tell you with a straight face that there should be 1 billion classified federal documents. And what I see a pattern is those things don't seem connected. Is what the federal government has done is they have created laws that will only be enforced against political dissidents. So, for example, I mean, everybody is violating the classified document stuff every night, right? Right now, Mayorkas is violating it. Last night, Merrick Garland violated it, right? It's as simple as, did you take a piece of paper home, right? You could be indicted on this stuff. Ed, talk about how the regime has in a very clever fashion. They have fashioned laws and focused on enforcing laws on things that everybody can be potentially found guilty of.
Well, you're exactly right. They do it in two ways. One is they create more laws and then they intentionally make them vague and stretchable. And frankly, then they get to courts where the judges will go along and play along with them. And this is the best example we've had in a long time. Again, this statute was, and you know, Charlie, it's the oldest trick in the Rahm Emanuel book. Make a crisis, make everybody crazy, and solve it. After the Enron scandal, these morons, just like after 2000, the Help America Vote Act happened, they threw money at the problem and made all of our election systems. I was running an election system. They said, oh, 2000 was bad. Let's throw money at the problem and buy electronic systems that nobody can audit. And so after the Enron scandal, they do Sarbanes-Oxley and they create all these massive loosey-goosey laws, just like Charlie were right to it. They're trying to have more surveillance. And they say, oh, national security, national security. This is a real problem. Look, we've flipped the Reagan. You know, I was going to say this. Jack beat me to it. Illinois created Phyllis Schlafly, Ronald Reagan, and Charlie Kirk. It's pretty good, Charlie. You're sweet. In a pretty good run there. I don't know what I don't know what Philly. Philly didn't do as much. Rocky Balboa and Posobiec. It's got, you know, it's going down.
Excuse me, Alito. Anyway, Alito. Samuel Alito. Oh, Philly Catholic.
We have to be fair.
Sam Alito.
Okay, hold on a second. At Chicago, we also have Axelrod and Hillary Clinton. And we don't claim Barack Hussein Obama. Okay, we don't.
I'm not sure who claims him.
Yeah, I don't know. Ed, you're talking about a book that Rush was obsessed with, "License to Lie," by Sidney Powell.
Yep.
That really talks about this.
Yep.
I remember
such a good book.
Every day I would hear Rush Limbaugh. I think he was the number one promoter. And remember, Rush zeroed in on this because it was about Sidney Powell, who worked for the Department of Justice, who saw firsthand what Weissman and that pack of thugs did. And the Weissman kind of regime, I hope everyone understands, there's five or six of these very slippery people that run our country right now. It's like Mark Elias, yep. Weissman, you know, there's Valerie Jarrett, and they're
Susan Rice.
Susan Rice. That's exactly right. So every one of these different issues has a suppressive, very smart person who navigates. MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever and just in time for Christmas. For a limited time, get the Giza Dream Bed Sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for just $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in variety of sizes and colors and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening now. They're extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2024, making them the perfect gift for your friends and your family and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk, or call 1-800-875-0425, and you get huge discounts. Get big discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream Sheets, for as low as $29.98. And get all your shopping done now while quantities last. It's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. So Jack, you had a really smart point. This is a cause set in motion, right? So this is a singular decision that could impact hundreds of thousands and hundreds of thousands. You want to ask out a question on this? Because I think you brought up
I did want to throw a question out there. I also want to throw out that there is one other Philadelphia Republican, and that is one of America's greatest mayors in all of history, Frank Rizzo. One of the greatest.
Arlen Specter. I thought you were going to say Arlen Specter.
Frank Rizzo, not Silver Bullet Specter. No, we'll talk about that in the
exactly,
JFK bullet.
That's right, exactly.
A lot longer. But no, Frank Rizzo, of course, one of the greatest mayors, cracked down on the Black Panthers, cracked down on everyone that was uprising in the city, and taught journalists their place. Yeah. My question for you, Ed, is...
Yep.
Because we've been told by the Never Trumpers that, well, the case is, you know, even if you think Trump is the greatest thing since sliced bread and he's the leader of the new movement, he's popular, we get that. But they say if Trump is convicted come election day, it's over, it's curtains, everything is done. But what you're outlining here, don't bury the lead, as our friend on the morning show would say, that if these cases are pushed back, that sets off a chain reaction, because people don't understand. It's not the movies, right? Most stuff that happens in the furtherance of a court proceeding happens before the trial phase actually begins, right? Before the courtroom phase actually begins. So if all of these pretrial motions, witness lists and discovery, if all of this gets pushed back in all of the Trump cases, that means that the trial dates get pushed back. Guess what? Your number one argument that the Never Trumpers have been saying for all along, the entire pedestal of their support for these anti-Trump candidates, has been that Trump is going to be a convicted felon. Ed, it sounds like there's going to be a chain reaction here where these cases are not going to see trial until after the election.
I would guarantee it. I'd take a gentleman's wager that there won't be a Trump trial before the election. I agree with you completely. By the way, Jack, just to prove at least federally. The lunatics in Georgia and other places will do things. But by the way, Charlie, to prove your listeners are Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, I got a text that said, "Well, don't forget, Ed, Philadelphia has Grace Kelly." So you got Grace Kelly, Jack. You can hang your hat on that.
We love Grace Kelly, listen, and we will always defend Grace Kelly.
I know. But Jack, this is, you're exactly right. And Charlie, I want to drive it to the point you began in the last segment on secrecy. You know, it's not just that, you know, secrets are evil and they usually are. What we're seeing is a set of government actions that are designed to keep from we the people the what's called due process. Due process, you know, the crown jewel of America. We don't have a crown. We don't have actual jewels. Our crown jewel is the Constitution and the rule of law and the founding values. And Andrew Weissmann and his gang are stealing it in front of us by what? By gutting due process. And the main way they're doing it, to put Charlie, you got to it, was they're using secrecy and keeping. They keep from people they keep from people the evidence. You got Donald Trump fighting to look at the evidence in the case of this matter that over 300 January 6th defendants and now convicted felons are facing. They don't get the information on what exactly happened on January 6th because they say it's national security. So we got the Cheney Select Committee spending $20 million to push a narrative that's a lie and then getting rid of the evidence, and our due process is sliding. And last thing I'll say, the thing that's really at the heart of this now is that we have a totally partial system. One of the due process tenets is impartial judge and jury. And that is out the window. You know, this is insane. So again, we're going to pull this string, as Jack said. What's going to happen is going to back all these cases up. We're also, please God, going to get some of these people out of jail faster and get them out of these situations. You know, it's Christmas, and one of the organizations I help, Jack knows, Patriot Freedom Project, we're just sending gift cards to families so these families can have, you know, minor Christmas gifts and food.
Wow. How do we do that, Ed? How do we send stuff to prisoners that are unjustly?
Yeah. Well, PatriotFreedomProject.com. And let me tell you, Charlie, okay, we again. Worry about
Patriot
our prisoners.
PatriotFreedomProject.com. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. PatriotFreedomProject.com. Amen. We've got a program. We worry about our prisoners. But I have to tell you, this time of year, all these guys, there's a dirty little secret here. The people that are stuck in jail are working Americans. Frankly, if you had money, you could fight your way out and hire good lawyers in your home. These guys, 300, they're military, they're cops, they're working stiffs, and their mom, their wife is home with 3.5 kids, and they don't have a turkey dinner. They don't have, you know, we're sending money to people to pay for dental work because they don't have coverage. So it's brutal. But anyway, but hopefully they'll get out of jail. And as Jack points out, it'll back up the Trump stuff.
Ed, you do a great job running the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. I love the event. Let us know the next time you're doing it in the spring or whatever. Happy to help. Happy to promote it. Phyllis Schlafly, you know, it's worth having you come into the studio and tell the story of Phyllis Schlafly to our younger listeners.
I'd love to.
She single-handedly destroyed the ERA, which would have obliterated the country. That alone, she deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore of conservatism. Ed, thank you so much.
Yep.
For years, we've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues. They teach things that directly contradict the values of millions of Americans. That's especially true if you are a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source on American K-12 private education, with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents thinking about making the switch from public schools to a Christian education, and for those already in Christian schools too. From their online publication, The Lion, to their new podcast, Making the Leap, the Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for your kids. To learn more about how your family, faith, and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for you. Go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. They're the trusted source of American K-12 private education, and they also partner with us at Turning Point Academy. So check it out right now, HerzogFoundation.com. Really excited about this next guest. There's an unacceptable, any amount is unacceptable, but there's a disgusting amount of Jew hatred that is spreading in our country, and we have to end it. And that is the title of the book by Brooke Goldstein, End Jew Hatred by Brooke Goldstein. She's a human rights attorney and also in charge of the Lawfare Project. Brooke, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us about your book.
Charlie, thank you so much for having me and for mentioning in your intro how really, like you said, disgusting it is that we're seeing such a rise in Jew hatred in this great country. I wrote my book. I actually started writing it before October the 7th because I was also alarmed and I was noticing how we're in this age apparently of minority rights movements. And if you are a Black person or if you are a Muslim or if you are Asian, you know, certain types of behavior are unacceptable. And yet if you are a Jewish person, it is perfectly acceptable to engage in the type of bigoted and discriminatory behavior that my clients experience every day. And the time is now to end that. And what I argue for in my book is that the time is now for a Jewish civil rights movement in the United States of America. We have been at the forefront of every single civil rights movement, and now is the time for people to stand up for Jews.
So where does this come from, Brooke? I mean, I've been seeing this for years. I believe that the diversity, equity, inclusion Leviathan has laid the foundation to justify Jew hatred. We see it on campus. We see it in the media. Walk us through. In recent years, we've seen it bubbling up, but obviously in the last 6 months, it's the after effect. It's not like it just all of a sudden started post, you know, October 7th. So walk us through that.
Yes, perfect point. I mean, everybody's saying, you know, are we surprised? Are you so surprised to see the level of hatred that's now rearing its ugly face? All the haters have come out of their holes and there's pro-Hamas marches on the streets of New York and London and Paris. And you see what's happening in academia. Are you surprised? And the answer is obviously no, because people like me and people in the counterterrorism community and the moderate Muslim community and the conservative community have been screaming at the top of our lungs for the past 10 years about the radicalization that's happening, not just on college campuses, but like you said, through these diversity, equity, and inclusion departments and ideologies and critical race theories, which sound great, but is really the perversion of human rights language to manipulate us into being everything but inclusive. And the real perversion, which is totally insane to me, is that they've actually managed to convince an alarming amount of people that the Jewish community, which was once massacred, 6 million plus of us were massacred for not being white, are now all of a sudden white colonial oppressors. They've taken our narrative. They've, you know, taken our slave name, Palestinian. The Jews have identified as Palestinian. It's a geographic location. It was our slave name when the Romans sacked the temple. And now they've turned it into a Muslim ideology that excludes all other faiths and now is attempting to claim parity with the Jewish people, the indigenous people to Israel, for a legal claim to the land. This ideology results in people thinking that Jews building houses, synagogues, having farms, living peacefully in Judea, Samaria, which is our indigenous homeland, is somehow a provocation for violence. Our mere presence on the Temple Mount is an excuse to start a violent intifada. It's the biggest victim-blaming perversity in modern history. And that's what we're dealing with, stemming from these types of ideologies.
So, Brooke, it's an incredibly important book. I hope people check it out. End Jew Hatred. It's across the board. We should have no tolerance for it. And it is a manual for mobilization. I want to get into that. I'm sure one of the things you talk about, though, is suing the organizations and the institutions that embrace the hatred of Jews. Tell us about Carnegie Mellon.
So first of all, I'll set it up with this. Civil rights litigation has always been a very important part of our democracy. If you think about it, most of the rights that we enjoy, whether you agree with them or not, are a product of a seminal civil rights case, right? So Roe v. Wade, for example, with abortion, which was overturned, Brown v. Board of Education, which got rid of segregation in our schools, and recently the Asian community overturned affirmative action, bringing their lawsuit against Harvard. And you'd be hard-pressed to find any seminal civil rights cases on behalf of the Jewish community. And so what we are seeing now across the United States are rampant violations of the basic civil rights of the Jewish community, disguised as political advocacy, disguised as anti-Zionism or anti-Israel advocacy. But in reality, what is happening thousands of miles away in the so-called Israel-Palestinian conflict is being used as an excuse to now target Jewish people for being Jewish. And that's what we're seeing. The anti-Semitism, especially on college campuses, it's not a political issue. This is a civil rights issue. And I would argue one of the greatest civil rights issues of our time that has become at this point a national crisis. And I'm proud to say that the Lawfare Project really has been at the forefront of this. We provide pro bono legal counsel to Jewish students and professors and Jewish members of who are the workforce, and doctors, anyone, Jewish communities that are discriminated against unlawfully, because we deserve to have our civil rights enforced and we deserve equal protection under the law. And we recently filed a very important and I believe groundbreaking lawsuit against Carnegie Mellon University on behalf of a very courageous young American Jewish girl named Yael. And Yael experienced an enormous amount of intentional, cruel, anti-Semitic abuse at Carnegie Mellon University. It's pervasive, it was systemic, and it was carried out by both the faculty and the administration against her. And when she complained about it, when she filed complaints, she was retaliated against. So we recently filed a lawsuit against Carnegie Mellon University, which, by the way, just so happens to be one of the largest recipients of foreign funding from the state of Qatar.
Brooke, I love the aggression that is in your strategy, which is we must sue, we must not put up with this. And this isn't just anecdotal, I'm curious. In recent weeks, have you seen people that might have taken a more passive approach, a more agreeable approach, change their tune a little bit in the pro-Israel Jewish community? Have you seen people say, this is not a time for compromise? I certainly have seen that from donors no longer giving money to universities. Are you seeing things start to change as far as kind of a new mindset set in the war against Jew hatred?
So first, I'll say that I'm happy you used the term aggressive, because when I first started my career in the legal space, advocating and filing civil rights actions on behalf of the Jewish community, I was accused of being too aggressive. I was told, you know, we're negotiating behind closed doors and you're creating more anti-Semitism. Filing a lawsuit is giving the impression that Jews are too aggressive. And I thought to myself, you know, would anyone ever accuse the NAACP of too aggressively asserting the civil rights of the Black community, or the ACLU or the Center for Constitutional Rights in their own community of too aggressively upholding the First Amendment of the United States? They wouldn't, because it's essential in liberal democracies that when your civil rights are violated, that you stand up for yourself. I always tell Jewish students that come to us, they don't have a responsibility. It's not their duty to defend Israel, a foreign country that many of them are not a citizen of. And I understand that they're Zionists, but that's not their duty. But it is their responsibility to stand up for themselves if they've been discriminated against, and make sure that that pattern of behavior does not continue to keep happening on the campus to other students after them. So I think, first of all, in terms of waking up, we've seen a lot of Jewish organizations and non-Jewish organizations now embrace this concept of impact litigation, of civil rights litigation, which I think is something beautiful and which is an incredible blessing to be able to live in this great country, the United States of America, where the truth is on our side, the law is on our side. And if we don't stand up for ourselves, nobody's going to do it for us. No one's going to assert the civil rights of the Jewish people for us. We have to do it for ourselves, the same way that every other minority community has done. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with standing up for yourself, with becoming a plaintiff in litigation to seek justice and make the type of systemic changes that we need to see to get rid of this Jew hatred once and for all, and to impose consequences on the type of behavior that is not acceptable in our beautiful democracy.
And Jew Hatred by Brooke Goldstein. Thank you so much for your time, Brooke. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
If their victory was inevitable, their propaganda would not be necessary. If they were going to win, they wouldn't have to censor us, smear us. They wouldn't have to fight us. If they were confident that they were going to hold on to power forever, then they wouldn't be acting the way they are. More importantly, they also wouldn't be passing laws and measures about future presidents. There's this massive tell that just happened in the NDAA. Speaker Johnson never should have passed that. He's a disappointment. We've done that before. We'll cover that plenty. But I was listening to Willie Geist on MSNBC, and he's just reading this thing. And there was a measure put forward by Marco Rubio and Tim Kaine that everyone loved. And to an untrained eye, it just seems like a normal thing, like whatever, okay. Future presidents can't get us out of NATO. I mean, NATO, again, which is like which? Is the RNC like NATO, or is NATO like the RNC? They say annoying things, suck up a bunch of cash, and break stuff. That's Tucker Carlson's quote. I love it. But this is a fascinating clip. If the bad guys were confident that they were going to hold on to the White House, why would they then pass laws that say that future presidents can't leave NATO? If they were confident that Gavin Newsom or Joe Biden was going to become president, then why would this be necessary? Play cut 118.
Also in the NDAA, a provision barring future presidents from unilaterally withdrawing from NATO without approval from the Senate or an act of Congress. The legislation was spearheaded by Virginia Senator Tim Kaine and Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. Concerns have grown in recent years surrounding whether the United States might withdraw from NATO during another Trump presidency. With this legislation, no president will be able to solely decide to leave that alliance.
Okay, so for nothing else, this just goes to show MSNBC, Atlantic Magazine, and New York Times fear porn is now becoming legislation. I think it's hilarious. The amount of predictive programming, Trump might be president, Trump might be president, Trump might be president, Trump might be, pass a law. Prepping for a Trump presidency. This goes to show everybody, these are a paranoid group of people. You do not pass laws preventing things that Trump can or cannot do, like leaving NATO, if you aren't legitimately afraid that he could become president. This is the best piece of evidence that I have seen that it's not just a game for Democrats, that they see maybe it's 1%, 5%, 10%. They think that the evil Trump man might be back in the White House, that he might come out of nowhere and become president again, because they're seeing these polls and they're seeing the media cover it. Play cut 49.
The news is not great for President Biden and his campaign. The numbers show Donald Trump leading in both Georgia and Michigan. In Georgia, a state Biden carried by a very narrow margin in 2020, registered voters say they prefer Trump over Biden by 5%. In Michigan, which Trump won in 2016, but Biden carried in 2020, our poll now showing Trump 10 points up. Trump's margin over Biden is significantly boosted in both states by people who say they did not vote in 2020. These less engaged voters favored Trump by 26 points in Georgia and 40 points in Michigan.
If they felt they would win no matter what, then why would they be putting things to prevent Trump's maneuverability if he became president in the NDAA? This is a tell. This is a tell that certain inner workings in the regime are afraid that there might be an avalanche coming next November. No guarantees. But let me give you an example. If they felt that their power was as, let's just say, certain as the state of California, the California Senate is not passing laws of what happens if Larry Elder becomes governor. They're pretty confident they're going to win by 20 points. It's California. Same in New York. Same in Massachusetts. No. These are people that are afraid that the White House might be slipping out of their grasp. Lawmakers that are taking orders from somebody, somewhere in the inner workings of government, where they might be saying, oh boy, we might see 2016 all over again, and we can't pull off what we did in 2020 again. This should be hopeful for you that we can win. So let's get to work. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The following is a paid advertisement sponsored by Versus AI. Salem is not an investment advisor, and this is not a solicitation or recommendation by Salem to buy or sell any securities. Salem and Dr. Gorka are being paid $85,000 to carry this ad on its radio and podcast network. Salem does not endorse any investment product, and you should check with your personal financial advisor before investing.
Greetings, I'm Dr. Sebastian Gorka, and I'm excited to share with you a groundbreaking opportunity in the artificial intelligence industry that stands resilient amidst the Sam Altman upheavals. Enter Versus AI and its pioneering Genius platform. The AI sector has been largely dominated by large language models like those at OpenAI. Versus AI is charting a new course. Don't miss this potential breakout company. Be part of the AI revolution. Versus AI, with its commitment to innovative solutions, is poised to remain a leader in the dynamic world of artificial intelligence. As AI becomes increasingly central to our future, the potential of Genius's platform to enhance your investment portfolio is immense. We invite you to be part of this exciting journey. Discover the power of Genius at emcversus.com.